Welcome, 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 everybody. It's a Video Games Are Hard episode 43. I just remembered at the split second I said it was 43 because last episode, Answers to Life, the Universe, and Everything, 42.
Uh-huh.
Easy to remember. So yeah. I'm correct.
Are you
I'm Average Trey. Sid's here.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, how's it going?
What's up? We're here.
I'm chilling. I knew it was 43 before you knew it was 43. Get absolutely boomed on.
Well, maybe you should have done the intro then.
Oh, I know. You know what? Maybe I'll do the intro next week, and then I'll try to show you up.
Next week is going to be a banger if it works out, by the way, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Banger.
I have to think about it a little bit. We have a plan that the people that are involved don't know about yet.
And one of them doesn't. Actually, both of them don't even know they're going to be on.
No.
We should probably make sure they can do it.
Yeah, we should probably ask them to do it. It'll be fine.
We'll ask him, they're like, what are you talking? We don't want to be on your show. What?
Yeah. Well, we hate you. Have you ever used the phrase boomed on?
Get no.
Boomed on?
I've been on?
Yeah, I've been hearing Ludwig say it. Like I every now and then watch Ludwig and he goes like, oh, you got boomed. And I'm just like, what does that mean?
Is this the 2022 equivalent of pwned?
I think so.
Interesting.
You just got boomed. And I'm like, okay. Well, that's fine.
Well, you know what? I'm sure that if someone as popular as Ludwig is saying it, it'll catch on eventually.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
We'll all be saying boomed in no time.
I want to start saying boomed. Ludwig's saying boomed.
Me boomed. He, she, we boomed. It's first grade SpongeBob.
Yeah. Change the verb nothing.
Yep.
And then, yeah. Hey, it's different in Spanish. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took the intro to Spanish yesterday, and
wait, so is this on Duolingo as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
As like a little bit of I've been doing so much Spanish. I've been doing so much Swedish for the past few days.
I was like, so much Spanish. Wait, are you doing a different language than I thought you were doing this whole time?
I've been accidentally saying Swedish the whole time.
I had the wrong S language in mind this whole time.
No, I've been doing so much Swedish over the past few days so that I can get into Diamond League again. And for the past 3 days, I've literally been doing like multiple hours each day. So yesterday at the end of my Swedish segment of my life, of my day, I just kind of was just like, screw it. I'll go to Spanish for a lesson. And I learned that verbs are complicated.
You know? Yeah, there's a lot of conjugations going on. From what I remember when I was in school taking Spanish, there's like the six main conjugations for like you or like y'all or we all and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I
just don't like to eat. Like if I eat, it's como, right?
Yep. Yeah, I remember that.
And then if you eat, it's comes.
That sounds correct.
And then, well, I don't know how to pronounce it right now. To be fair, day two Spanish, probably not even day half Spanish.
What is just to eat?
I don't know what to eat is.
Comer.
Is it with the ER at the end?
Yeah, so any verb that ends with like ER or AR, it's always to something.
Hey, you know what? It's different in Swedish because it ends with like A most of the time. If it's if it's a standard verb, it just ends with A. Like what's a good example?
any word.
I could say any word right now.
What's a good example of like a word? You know, do you have any like word examples?
Et fluga, the fly.
Ah,
it ends with an A. But like
that's crazy.
Flieger is flying.
I don't know. Do you think that dabbling in Spanish would help you in Swedish in some weird way?
I don't know. It'd be interesting. I don't think I'll get confused. Like between the two,
probably not. No.
Yeah, but it's like, what is it? Two comes, and then like he she come, so no s at the end, like c o m e. Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm just like, oh, it's different instead of standard stuff.
We were talking about this before we started recording. When I say stuff in Spanish, I just say it in my default speaking accents, just applied to the word.
Yeah.
So but I just like don't even, I don't like put like any effort into sounding Spanish myself.
I would love to hear you try to like do some of the vowels in Swedish because I can't.
Because you can't?
Because I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I can't. They're too difficult. Like the O sound and the, like, they're specific.
You can't physically make the sound?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I cannot roll my R's, so I can't do double R noises in Spanish.
Arr.
I can't. My tongue is too fat or something.
Let's go.
Apparently, I can't do it.
In Swedish, it's good to roll your R's too.
Yeah, I'm fucked for Spanish and Swedish then.
You can learn French.
I'd rather not.
Je m'appelle.
I think I would rather not.
You don't want to learn French?
I know. I'm not, you know, taking a stab at French or anything. I'm just
the biggest compliment I've done in Duolingo in the past few months. I've done like the first unit of French just for fun, and because I learned French basically my entire growing up. And
that'd probably be easy for you.
The best. I used to say I speak French. I don't. I really don't. But the best compliment I got was from J-Pep, who's a member of the Sunshine community, who was just like, oh, you got like the pronunciation down. And I'm like, you know what? Thanks. That's like 9 years of my life. Not dedicated to it, to be fair. I wasn't at like a French immersion school or anything like that. But hey, there was a course each year dedicated to teaching me French, and I know how to pronounce the words. Let's go.
Hey, one thing you didn't even mention, J-Pep himself is French. And second of all,
yes,
the French tend to be very picky about their own language. So that's quite the compliment.
Baguette. Hey.
Is it baguette or baguette?
Baguette.
Baguette.
Or baguette.
Baguettes, baguettes, baguettes.
There's like, I don't know. I wouldn't. I can try to say things like I know, but I don't. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, there are multiple accepted pronunciations in French. I don't actually know. I'm just this guy trying to learn Swedish. That's currently second in his Duolingo league, going into Diamond League. Because
what's after Diamond again? Is Diamond the highest?
Diamond's the highest. I got kicked out. I got kicked out of Diamond, and then I got lazy and went down a few levels. And every week you have the ability to go up to the next level. And dude, it's so, like, the past few weeks, I'm like, oh, I'll try to get to Diamond this week. It's like, oh, you need at least 3,000 experience points in the 3, week.
3,000, that's so many.
Well, like, if you think about it, so I started doing Duolingo in October. So it's been however many months since then. And I only have, today, I think I have like 44,000 total.
Wow.
So if you need like 3,000 in a week, you're just like, fuck, dude. Like,
that's a lot.
It is a lot. And and some people get in to Diamond on like easier weeks, and I'm just like, well, I need 3,000. I'm not doing it this week. So this week I was just like, I'm going hardcore, and I've been like more motivated to do it, which is interesting. Like doing it more. Hey, you know what, Trey? Doing lessons more often gets you like better at the thing. Therefore, you like cruise quicker. You know.
It's a snowball effect. The more you do it, the more you grind. It's it like compounds like interest or something.
Yeah, and it's like grinding sunshine.
Yeah, I wish that was the case.
Dude, it's like grinding sunshine, exactly like
sunshine,
it.
Man. Diminishing returns are real. It's it's hard to improve these days.
Well, yeah, like it's way different. Like being at the beginning of learning a language than being what. How long have you played Sunshine? Let's educate.
It's hard to. Whenever I say how long, I always say 9 years.
Yeah.
But like, if you factor in all the breaks I took, it's probably like 6 years. So.
Yeah, because I didn't play much in 2016.
I didn't play at all in 2020.
Yeah. So like we take out bits and pieces. I haven't played Sunshine very much over the past 2 weeks.
I have played it a lot. I've actually, so the past month or so since I was done with Elden Ring, I've been playing it a lot, streaming twice a week, which is a lot for me. I usually do like once a week.
Yeah.
And dude, like four or five streams after my return, I was getting like at least one really solid run, PB-able into like Serena, Noki, even Bowser one time.
Yeah, I saw that one.
But dude, the one on Bowser, oh, I was like minus 15 because my Corona was pretty shaky, but the first Bowser platform, I got a bounce up after the ground pound, which never happens to me on the first platform, which caused me to get a limp rocket, and then I died. So,
yeah,
it's like these one in a thousand mistakes that like only happen when you're going to PB. It's so dumb.
I See, what's funny is that, like, after that happened, I was there for the end of that run.
Yeah, I remember that.
Sam at some point came into Rutira's stream that I was watching and it was just like, oh, Trey said something along the lines of, oh, he only fucks up Serena 3 when you're watching. And I was just like, oh, so he's at Serena 3 at least. I'll go check where he is. And you were minus 25 entering Noki.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, this is a good. And then you like lost a little bit of time in like Noki 5 or Noki 3. And then like,
not
a little
Noki
bit
5.
No. Yeah, well, Noki 5.
Well, like, no, it happens. The tightrope is intense, right?
Hey, yeah, tightrope and missing that jump dive into the shine. Yeah.
And missing joking about a McDonald's straw. It's important.
So. Yeah. Burger King straw, whatever straw, Wendy's straw. But yeah, I was tuned in for that. And watching the end of it, it's the first time in so long that I've been like, not heartbroken. Like, I don't know if I can really consider myself heartbroken.
Yeah, I know. You didn't care that much about me. I know.
Well, no, I would my heart went out, you know? Uh-huh. Where, like, my hands went over my nose and mouth sitting at my dining room table going like, oh my god. Like,
yeah, I think I would have freaked out more if I didn't have other runs recently that also I just lose in late game.
Yeah.
I'm getting more I'm callousing my mind to these late game chokes.
Uh-huh.
So until eventually I, like, don't care anymore.
It's a good thing to callous your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because actually, like, I think, like, my second stream back after Elden Ring, I lost a run. It was, like, minus 8 in Noki. It wasn't really that special, but I was still, like, pretty down on myself after I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've lost even better runs since then and be like, eh, you know, it happens. So I think, you know, my mentality's going up. So.
Yeah, you know what actually watching your run did for me? It actually kind of motivated me. I'm surprised I didn't end up playing Sunshine last night. Or, like, maybe not streaming Sunshine, but I didn't play it at all. But, like, I thought about it. I know that doesn't sound like the most impressive thing.
Thinking about it is one quarter of the battle.
Right? Yeah, and then I just did Swedish instead. It's funny how, like, Swedish has just kind of usurped all of my... Like, I haven't streamed in a week and a half, but it's not, like, because I'm, like down on streaming or anything. It's just, like, if Duolingo on computer was better, like, if it gave me more experience, I would do it on computer, and I would stream it.
Wait, but it literally just gives you more experience on mobile?
Yeah, it just gives you double the experience, essentially.
What?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, each lesson is 10 experience plus, like, combo. So it's, like, 10 plus up to 5. And then on mobile, it's...
Wait, are there ads on the app?
No, I buy Duolingo Plus.
Okay, I was like, maybe because you pay for it, maybe that's it.
Well, like, why wouldn't they transfer that over to Duolingo on computer?
I don't know. I don't know.
But my
initial thought was, like, if it's both free, then you could, like, have ad block or something on PC, but no ad block on mobile.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I guess I was wrong. So.
But yeah, if I pay for it, why wouldn't I be able to transfer it just over to PC? But yeah, I get 10 plus the combo, and then on mobile, it's like if I get everything perfect plus a combo, it's like 24 to 27 experience per lesson. So it's like literally double. Almost double.
Wait, so when you're doing Duolingo during intro cutscenes, during runs, that's less efficient than it could be.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, that sucks.
Like, it would be better if I did it on my phone, but my way of, like, thinking through that is just like, well, I'm here anyway. Like, either I'm not going to do it or I'm going to get the 10 experience. Like, this is the trade-off here. But yeah, that's mostly where my time's been going, but... Like, cool. It's funny with Sunshine, like, you were able to get runs, like, fairly quickly after Elden Ring, what is it, the taking advantage of the beginner's luck, right?
Yeah, there's a weird thing where when you take a break and you come back, you feel, well, I wasn't that rusty because it was, like, only, like, a month off, it's nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's definitely a sweet spot in taking a break where it's, I guess, short enough to not be that rusty, but long enough to where your mind is just in a different place, I guess.
Yeah, you don't look at the game the exact same way.
Yeah, there's something about, like, grinding too much. You sort of, maybe it's kind of extreme, you lose your humanity and it makes you play it makes you play worse.
You've been playing too much Dark Souls.
Yeah. No, dude, I hear that phrase, lose your humanity, like, in reference to so many other games.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
But mainly it's Dark Souls. Yeah, you're right.
Well, yeah, like, I feel like with lose your humanity in reference to Sunshine is, like, when people get way too deep like way too lost in the sauce and they start complaining that they're missing spin jumps or like they're missing spin inputs.
Dude, at some point, like all these little minor mistakes just wear on you and you're just like, you're almost expecting them to happen and it just makes you play worse.
Yeah. Like I feel like when you play too much and you go like, oh, I'm missing spin inputs, it's literally because you're buffering the spin. You're way too comfortable with buffering a spin.
Like yeah, maybe this that's,
is, that's the only example that I have, like that when people are grinding too hard, they just start missing spin puts.
Dude, I actually had one of those missing something wake up moments in my last stream when I actually messed up the menuing and had to watch the Pen of One cutscene.
Oh, damn.
What it was I was getting way too comfortable with timing the up input to scroll down the exit area as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I hit up a frame before it could have registered, hit continue. And ever since then, I'm like, maybe I should be a little more careful there.
Yeah.
So
no,
sometimes you need those wake up call moments to be like, I'm a little too comfortable doing this input like super frame perfectly when I don't really have to.
Yeah.
And it could be worse as I just experienced. So
yeah. Yeah, it is cool though that within like a few streams you were able to get like pace. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was really like a sick feeling. Unfortunately, on my last stream, didn't really get too many things going. But I mean, that's just expected.
Yeah. Well, that's like
my fear is that like what happened early on was like a freak thing, and now I'm just back to getting nothing going.
Now you're back into the
non-beginner's luck territory.
Yeah, I don't know. Back into like the feeling you were before, just like back into the soup. You're just in the soup now. It's like, fuck.
Yeah. So it's like, should I just like take another month long break or should I keep
I don't know.
It's a serious question. Like, I don't know. It's,
well, when's Xenoblade 3 coming out?
Well, it's funny you ask that. And I mean, we'll talk, we might get back to Sunshine at some point, but Xenoblade 3. All right. Did you hear about this, by the way?
I didn't.
All right. So Sid, not a Xenoblade fan, never played one. Me, huge Xenoblade fan, played both of them. Well, not like Xenoblade X. Played the main two in the series.
But, 2 out of 3 of them.
Yeah. Because there's the one on the Wii U I never played.
Two out of 2.5 or 3.
So basically, the mad lads over at Monolith Soft, they did the unthinkable.
Okay. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Did they move up the release date?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know.
When's the last time you heard of a video game company doing that?
Oh, I have no idea.
I have never heard of this happening.
That's crazy.
Like, that I can remember. Like, they originally it was September, and now it's going to be July 29th.
Oh, shit.
Which is kind of a double-edged sword, so it's really great for me because I get to play the game sooner, and I'm sure it's going to be great.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, originally my deadline for my 80% grind before I'm like, all right, I'm just going to take a Xenoblade break, was when Xenoblade 3 was going to come out. So I was like, all right, I got until September. I will grind 80% for sure until September.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, I guess until late July.
Yeah.
But, you know, that still gives me like 3 months. So like, it's not, you know, or maybe even 4 months.
And that's if you get denied for the GDQ run, you'll be at ESA.
Right. And you know what's crazy? I guess ESA goes until late July, doesn't it?
The 31st?
So Xenoblade 3 comes out towards the tail end of ESA, which is interesting.
So if you go there, then you won't be able to play Xenoblade day one, which is sad.
Aww,
I'm sad for you.
Nah, I think it'd be worth the wait of like 2 more days when it was going to be like 2 more months originally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nuts, you know, like people were saying, oh man, Zelda moving it back, but Xenoblade moving up. What's going on here?
Hey, maybe Nintendo is just kind of like, okay, so we're moving one game back. We need something to fill the middle of the year.
But I think it was just like entirely the development studio's decision. Oh, yeah. Like they were just, I don't know how much Nintendo was involved with that decision making.
Cool.
But then, so there was a new trailer which showed off like actual, not just cutscenes, gameplay. Whoa, imagine that.
No.
And I even watched part of Enel, who sometimes goes to my stream and stuff, and he's like honestly the biggest Xenoblade content creator I even know of. He made like all these really in-depth guides for Xenoblade 2 and stuff. Indel made an analysis video of the trailer. It was like an hour long. I watched like part of it. And I watched the trailer itself, obviously. And the gameplay looks pretty interesting. I can't really glean a whole lot from it so far, but it appears that you can have all six party members out at once doing something at once, which is, you know, quite a bit more than Xenoblade 1. You only had three party members out.
Oh, okay.
Xenoblade 2, you had, I guess, three party members, but like there were two blades per each. So it was like pseudo six. But in this one, there's like six of them out. And then there's like certain things where you can combine two of them together to make a more powerful thing. And I guess each individual party member can use each other's weapons, which gives for a lot of customization of playstyles, I suppose.
Okay.
And just, yeah, show all kinds of like new characters that I don't really know who they're going to be or like if they're going to be bad or good. Mm-hmm. Well, some were obviously bad, but there were like some people like with different colored eyes and stuff saying things. I probably got to watch it again. I don't remember a whole lot from it, but yeah. And the Nopons were there. I don't think there's like, I think for the first time, there's not a Nopon main party member, but they are involved in the combat somehow. So I'm curious how that'll be done.
Hold on.
What are you doing?
Nopon these nuts.
Oh, no. That's actually, dude, if you invented that, I'm sure someone else had that first.
I've never heard it.
That's the name of this episode.
Woo! I named the episode.
Dude, I'm always thinking of all these D's nuts, Wendy's things. I've never even thought of that. That's crazy. You got me.
Woo! Let's go.
And with that, yeah, I don't really have much else to say. I guess I will. I'm still. I keep thinking of the phrase tempering my expectations. Is that like a thing people say? To temper your expectations?
Sure.
If that is a phrase, then I will temper my expectations on it. I don't want to like overhype myself and then be let down when it's like, hey, it's all right, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like lessen my expectations. I'm trying to like caution myself. Yeah, I feel myself. Like
temper, that's, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm keeping myself temperate right now, bro.
Yeah, I'm very temperate.
Yeah.
My body temperature, 98.6, baby. Anyway. Yeah,
so it's after Cuphead DLC.
When does that come out again?
Early June, I think.
Oh, damn, that's coming up. Feels like just yesterday we were making fun of how far away that was.
It was in December that they mentioned it.
Right, the last Game Awards, yeah.
It's just like, oh, early June. And we're just like, what? Like, what was our guess? It was like, oh, like, over under late January.
We were like February or something.
Yeah. It's just like,
it's like June.
It's like, what? I'll take after. It's like June. It's like, what the hell is this garbage?
Well, I mean, I guess you win the bet. So.
And then Xenoblade takes September and now pushes it up. But apparently.
I have a personal theory that like they were planning on the July release the whole time. They just did the September thing to like do a power move.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Just like,
I like
sort
that.
Of like to show off a little bit.
They're just like, yeah,
There's no way that they finished 3 months or 2 months worth of stuff quicker than they expected to. Like, there's no way you do that.
Well, it's like when you submit a run to a marathon and you're just like, I'll do it in 2 minutes and 50 or my estimate for ESA was 2 hours and 50 minutes. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
and then I'm just like, well, my time is 2:30. Like,
I think you went like a little generous there.
I did talk about it with somebody and they said, just put it down to 2:40. Like, you're not going to do any worse than 2:40. And I'm like, especially if you practice. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense.
I would have done like 2:45.
Yeah.
Because you never know like how you perform in a marathon setting. You might be like, oh my God, I'm going to cry. I don't know.
Well, I just imagine because I do like no resets all the time and...
Oh, yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah.
And like, if I do get in, then I'll like do the grind. Like, I'll do it. It's 96 shines. It's fine. Yeah. But yeah, so it's like that where with Xenoblade 3, where they're just like, ah, we'll put it out in September. It's going to be out in July. Like,
we already said like our GDQ or ESA plans on this podcast before?
I think you have.
All right. Well, just a reminder, because I'm sure not everyone has seen the episode where we talked about it.
Sure.
I submitted a 2-player, 1-controller with ADEF for the upcoming GDQ.
Yeah.
And then also I submitted Any%, just a straight up run as a race with Reed. Ooh. Which should be fun if that gets in instead. Mm-hmm. And then, but basically, I'm only going to go to this GDQ coming up if one of my runs gets in. If they don't get in, I would like to go to ESA and yes. go to Europe for the first time in my whole life and say what's up to Sid and the other bingo heads.
So. Yeah, there's a whole group going to ESA, and we're figuring it out what like plans are around that. But yeah, Trey's going to go to ESA if all that goes. And I was just like, well, I'm going to go anyway. On literally mm-hmm. last day of submissions of ESA, I was just like, I'll submit 96 if anybody cares. Like
and
I know there's
Samu submitted 120.
Yeah, I know there's a few runners that's I know Bingo's been submitted. I know 120's been submitted. I know like but I'm just like I'm 96. I'll submit 96. Oh, what do you think about this? All right. So I put what's the bid called? Like just like a donation thing.
Oh, a bid war?
An incentive. Yeah.
Or incentive, yeah.
Yeah, I put an incentive being like, oh, I don't really have anything for this, but I'll put this here just for fun. My incentive was to do not a, like a glitch thing. I actually watched recently there was a French marathon.
I didn't watch that, but I definitely heard about it.
I watched bits and pieces. It was Torque 9, Papachino, Noki Doki. and Pogo Nutter. I'm trying to say his name correctly. But yeah,
Pogo Nutter.
They did a four-person race, and I was just like, oh yeah, who's the best of this? And Torque has like a time that's just like just behind mine, like 1:15. I can't remember 40 something maybe. And I'm just like, respect. Oh okay, so he's gonna win, and he did. He got a 1:19 though. It's funny because you never want a race like that to be like way too much time between them. Like we talked about mm-hmm. with the Lego pod. We talked about like the any percent race and just like you don't want anybody to be like 6 minutes ahead, like, or 6 minutes behind or anything like that.
Right. That we always said like that's the downfall with speedrun tournaments that are formatted like a bracket and stuff is that they're only exciting if they're close. So
yeah. So the race that they did Torque won with a lower 119. It was like 119.10, something like that. And then everybody else was in the 120. Like in
it was pretty close.
Yeah, it was all pretty close, like in general, which is really cool. And like at the end of it, I was talking about like how like it's good that they were all like sandwiched together and they weren't like waiting for whoever, like one of the four, to be like, well, he died at the end of Pianta or Bianco 6, so he's just like 3 minutes behind. It's just like, well, that would suck. But they were all like pretty sandwiched together, so it's cool. But after they did their race, they did a glitch showcase, and they showed a few glitches. There was one that I found that I can't remember what it was. Damn, what did
you
I
can't
find?
Remember a thing that you found?
I can't. Well, I remember they showcased something that I had found.
What did you find? A fucking Jelly Skip 2.0?
No, I can't remember. I can't remember what they. But they showed off like Infinite Bonk.
Oh yeah, that's classic.
And they showed off just like a few things. Not that I found. Pogo was trying to do what is it called? Backwards hover. Like the
hyper hover.
Yeah, he was trying to do hyper hover and he was doing it wrong. So like he was showcasing that it worked, but he wasn't getting like to underbell or anything like that. I say I found it. I didn't mean I actually found it. I did not find it, but I was the first person to get Underbell Shine with it. Aha.
Oh, I forgot that was you. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Because I didn't even realize that I was the first person to do it.
I forgot that happened until just now.
Yeah, I thought somebody else had done it because I'd seen people like glitch it. Like I've seen people like tass it or whatever in order to make it work. But even my first Twitter post was just like, oh, I did it. Good. And like, it didn't get very much love or anything like that. And I was just like, yeah, okay. Cause I wasn't, but if I had known I was the first, I would have been like, oh bro, I'm the first one to do this. I'm sick. But I didn't know. But yeah, so they showcased that.
Just saying I did it, 10 likes. I was the first to do it, 1,000 likes.
Yeah, something like that. I guess that's how the Twitter meta works. But
we live in a society.
So they did Infinite Bonk and they did that and they did like a few other things. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Some of it, whatever. But I didn't put in for my incentive a glitch thing. I thought about doing a glitch showcase, but I don't know. Like,
I mean, that's kind of been done. I mean, TOEFL did one a long time ago.
Well, what's funny about the TOEFL one? You remember the TOEFL one where he like Rocket Storage existed.
Yeah. So that's the only one I remember.
Yeah. That's the because only thing
it,
I remember.
It is a funny thing where, like, for a long ass time, Rocket Storage is actually older than 2015.
Yeah.
But it was only possible on tight ropes.
Yeah.
And it was like really, really specific.
Yeah. You had to go on the tightrope, like boost the rocket. The rocket wouldn't put you off of the rope. So it was basically you were in sidestep the whole time and then get hit by a wind and the wind would knock you off the rope. Yeah. But you maintain your
vertical speed.
Yeah, you would maintain being in sidestep as you got hit. Yep. So then it would just launch you up.
Is it even sidestep? I thought it was just like you can't, when you're on a rope, you're just tethered to that rope until you either jump or get like knocked off.
Well, I say a sidestep, like it's like sidestep in the storage
it's like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing I remember from that showcase too.
Yeah, I only remember that too because it's like, damn, Rocket Storage is hella old. What the hell?
But yeah.
I remember that one time Snarfy Bobo was the first person to accidentally do modern day Rocket Storage. You remember that?
Oh yeah. I kind of remember that.
He was doing like Rico Hundreds. Dude, Snarfy Bobo accidentally did like two things before anyone else.
Yeah.
He was the first person to accidentally do Spider Glitch, like recorded. I'm sure someone else like offline probably did it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also the first person to get an accidental Rocket Storage when he like fell off the rafter in Rico. Landed on the weird, you know, those weird like cement mixers and like really like boxes and stuff underneath like where the lighthouse is or the Rico Tower is.
Yeah, yeah.
He landed on one of those as a rocket pretty much went off.
Uh-huh.
And I think somehow landing on the lip of like those really weirdly, those weirdly hitboxed boxes down there, he like slid off in one frame a certain way. And got the rocket storage worth of height on a rocket.
That's crazy.
It was the most bizarre, like, intricate thing that you probably couldn't even replicate. But Snarf is a madman.
I remember hearing about this. I don't remember. I seem to remember, like, a clip or something.
Yeah, there was a clip of it.
But I don't remember, like, it verbatim. But so.
And he was just like, whoa, I got so much height. Whoa.
But, yeah, so glitch showcases have been a thing. And so I didn't submit one. I could have, but I didn't. I submitted after my 96 run, if it gets in, whatever. Like, I don't care if it gets in or if it doesn't get in. Like, if it gets in, cool. If it doesn't, whatever. I'll probably be on a couch for something sunshine if it gets in. But I submitted after 96 doing, like, an all Plaza Blues run.
Wait, how long is that?
It's an 8-minute category.
Oh yeah, it's pretty short.
So like they said, like in their little blurb, they said like, oh, something that you can keep from like 3 to 5 minutes or like something along those lines, like just kind of like, keep it 5 minutes, something. But I was just like, well, I'm not going to write anything anyway. Like I'll just suggest doing this because it's like all Plaza Blues is it like compared to 96, I'll just be doing like A to B, A to B, A to B, just like level shines the entire way. And then with all Plaza Blues, it's just like, okay, well, blue coins are in the game and this is all the Delfino Plaza Blues. And it's a lot of interesting strats that you've never seen before. Like,
yeah, like just clips you would never use in any other, like other categories.
Yeah, just like basically bingo exclusive things. So
and it ends off with the one that requires the turbo nozzle, right?
Yeah, the backflip with the coconut from underwater and then do it like a Serena clip.
Oh, I always use a banana for that. I guess coconut's probably faster.
Yeah, coconut's way faster.
Yeah,
you get to throw it way further. But yeah, so I suggested that. I don't like it, won't be, nothing will be verified until May 7th apparently. So I'm,
and the games list for GDQ is like late April, I think April 30th or something.
Oh, that tracks.
Yep.
So yeah, so we're figuring out if Trey and I are both going to ESA. Cause then like, if a world where you get denied, I get 96 in, then we're doing a 96 commentated by Trey and I, with like I don't know who, like, we have the pick of the litter of who we want.
I think we could just throw on all the Sunshine Peeps at once. Why not?
just they all get one headset.
Just have them all gathered around. Well, okay, we got to figure out who has the headset. But like,
yeah, see, that's
they'll
the
all
problem.
Be like up in the front, you know.
Or Reed will be in the distance on a at a table.
Yeah.
Just sitting as if he's...
Yeah, the way they did it at Glitch Infinite, like, again, it was cool. They set that up and everything. But, like, you know, the setup was just kind of weird, not having the commentator on screen and stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't capture the comfy vibe I was hoping for.
Oh, for sure.
But it'll be, you know, if that exact scenario of me getting rejected, you getting accepted plays out, it'll be cozy vibes, 100%.
Yeah, it'll definitely be cozy vibes. Yeah, we get to plug the podcast. Hey, if we both get
that's
approved,
the most exciting part. Right?
If we both get approved, if we both get in, we both plug the podcast, like, however long, like, a month apart from one another. Yeah.
Right, we'd be like, hey, season two would pretty much be over by then.
Yeah, season two will be over, I think.
I'd be like, hey, you know, check out these, like, there's like 100 things of us saying stuff together, so check them out.
I think season two is supposed to end like mid, is it mid?
Probably June, right?
April, May, June.
Maybe well, like was, early July?
I guess early July.
Because we started in July, so.
Huh, so if you get approved... Then we'll get to talk about that, but I won't get to talk about ESA. Who knows?
Oh well.
Anyway, but yeah, so we can go. Oh, one thing I want to talk about 96 Shines was I had my second best run ever in 96 Shines, but like I guess before the Skinner Pod.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I had my second best, but it's like it's funny. So. It's like I cheated it. So my old PB was like a 233.04, I think, in 96 Shines, which was like third on the board. And then my current PB is a 230.50-ish. I think that's 230.50 exactly. But so
230.50-ish. Like, you know exactly what it is.
I actually don't. Is it 230.50 exactly? I don't really know. But
that sounds right to me.
Because I don't compare against PB. I compare against latest. All the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always compare to PB.
Like,
yeah.
I go check it, and just like, oh, I'm plus 40, and then go back.
Dude, comparing to PB is so perfect for me, because it's like just barely 114.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like a really good time to go against, except it is kind of a pain having early cycle comparison, but on the other hand, when I don't get early cycle, it's like, oh man, the run is so bad, I'm in the red. It's like a mental thing, makes you play better almost. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I definitely know the feeling of like, oh, red. Like, red doesn't mean good, but red means I'm stress-free.
Yeah, red means that, like, if I lose the run, it wasn't a choke.
Yeah. Nobody.
So stop saying that I choked, guys. Stop.
see, that's what's funny. I was asked about your run that ended in Bowser the other day. It's just like, oh, so he choked? And I'm just like, I don't think he would say so.
That definitively was not a choke. That's a thing that like literally never happens.
Uh huh.
Like I have never been dicked by the first platform in Bowser in my entire life.
Chokes are specific.
Yeah, choke. Okay, choke was like my previous run where I actually just messed up Noki 7 straight up.
Yeah.
And then died in Corona twice. That's a choke.
Like if something
but this Bowser thing, no.
Yeah, if something like super easy goes wrong and like you have no explanation for it, it's a choke.
Yeah, no, messing up Noki 7 is, that's a joke right there.
Yeah, or like, just like, your hands are shaky on the control stick, you die in Noki 6. Like, that's why it's called Chokey. Like, there are chokes, but like, then there's just like, oh, this run was taken away from me by God.
Yeah, like, weird ass, and you know what's funny is that I also lost a run in an unavoidable way on Bowser, the first run that could have won 15 for me.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm just full of bad luck, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, hey, I had the same issue with 115 when I was going for it. Like
weird shit happening to you?
Well, not weird shit, just like runs dying late and being like, fuck. Like,
but what's weird to me is that it's like I already have a 114, so why would I be cursed? Like, shouldn't it be easier to get a 114 now?
I you know what?
It's just slang doesn't compute for me.
Yeah, why aren't you having the same luck? Because with 115, when I got 115, I'm like, oh, okay, another PB, and then I stopped playing any percent for a bit.
Yeah, I literally cannot. Yeah, it's like I already have the benchmark. Why can't I push beyond the benchmark? Like, what the fuck? It makes no sense.
But yeah, I got my second best 96 Shines, which isn't too impressive because it was a 232.59, which is still 2 minutes off my PB. But like late game's really hard, and
it's hard to play well for that long.
It is really hard to play well for that
long. And hey, you know what? Mario Sunshine is a video game.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's go.
We did it.
Video games are Mario. Wait, let's go. So,
what you said, like you cheated or something? What are you talking about?
It feels like I cheated because of
it
my.
It feels like you cheated.
Because like the jump was 233.04 to 230.50. Like that was the jump in my PBs.
Dude, that was, yeah, when you got that run, that was a crazy improvement.
Yeah. And like my second best run, right? My second best run as of recording this is a 232.59. And I haven't gotten anything in between since.
It's just you got to fill in the gap with all the times you missed out on before you can PB again.
Yeah, I gotta.
That's kind of what I'm doing right now because I've gotten like so many. I got like a 115 even, and then recently like a 115.0 whatever after that Bowser death. 115.04. It's like, bro, just give me a fucking PB. Fuck you. That's going on in my mind right now.
But casually.
Casually. What have you been doing casually, other than Swedish?
Mostly Swedish. Oh, I've been playing Skyrim.
Actually. Oh yeah, how much Skyrim have you played?
I think I'm played for 10 hours.
Are you just doing the main story or just random bullshit?
I'd like to get to random bullshit. I've done like I went to the Greybeards. I don't know if you like how much you've never played Skyrim, right?
Yeah. So okay, let me fill me in on this thing. All right. So okay. I've heard of many people saying, oh man, I put 1,000 hours in this. I put 2,000 hours into Skyrim.
A lot.
How is there multiple 1,000 hours of content in this game?
There's a lot of content in this game. I don't know. There's basically quests that just drop at your feet.
I know about like grinding up your stuff to level 100 or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, are there really that many just quests everywhere?
Well,
and all this
it's
stuff?
Like that. So you've seen the Joseph Anderson video on The Witcher, right?
I saw half of the first one, yeah.
So it's just like there's a lot of branching paths.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you can make decisions in some missions that affect other missions. It's not like as branching as The Witcher or like some like Mass Effect or something like that. But there are like paths that you can explore that like upon replaying the game, you can explore other pathways, you know?
Oh, wait, I'm thinking so. How long could you spend in one playthrough?
I don't know. See,
because in my mind, I was picturing, oh, the 1,000 hours was all spent in just one playthrough.
I don't think so. I think it's multiple
playthroughs. Which was like that didn't compete, but like over multiple playthroughs, I could see that.
Yeah.
So,
well, like yeah. How much have we played Sunshine?
Well, see, yeah, that's a little more than one playthrough.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. One playthrough for us is like an hour and a half.
I was envisioning like, oh man, this guy spent 2,000 hours just exploring this world in this one playthrough.
Yeah.
That's a crazy big world. Holy crap.
Well, it's just like, yeah, it's like people that have so many hours in Dark Souls, it's like, oh, speedrunning or randomizer or like,
yeah, okay. For some reason in my mind, I forgot multiple playthroughs was like even a concept.
And then like,
and I'm a speedrunner. So
and then,
what
and
the
then
hell?
Skyrim like has a bunch of mods that you can put in as well. Like that's one of the most modded games of all time. Second to Minecraft, probably. That'd be
yeah,
my
Minecraft's
guess.
Probably the most.
But yeah, so I have like 10 hours in. I played back in 2011, like after the game came out. I did buy like the newer games when they came out back in the day before I speedran. And like I did play it, I think a fair bit. I think I had like 70 hours in it. I'm not willing to go check, but probably something around that.
Was this on Xbox 360?
Yeah. And okay. With two discs. I think it was two discs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. But yeah, because like Mass Effect 1 or 2 was two discs or three discs. I don't even remember. But I think it was two discs. Mass Effect 2 was two discs. So yeah. So in that era, definitely like they didn't have the Blu-ray. So, you know, there would be that many discs. But yeah, so I've been just playing Skyrim. I watched a little bit of a Skyrim stream, and I was just like, I own this. I'll just like boot it up. So I booted it up, and I'm like, I'm a Redguard woman, and I'm just kind of going through the thing I don't like about Skyrim is that it feels like the first 3 hours is just kind of like going through I played the exact same game and I remembered it from 10 years ago. Like, I played the exact same start that I usually do, or that I did. And it's just kind of like, it takes 3 hours to just kind of open up the world, which is fine, I guess, which is way better than a lot of games. Like, if you really think about it.
Yeah, like Skyward Sword and stuff.
Or even Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild, like, it just has the plateau, and that's it.
Yeah, you have to do the four plateau.
It doesn't take 3 hours to beat the plateau.
I guess not. But yeah, so I did that, and I'm just like, I'm so basic in all of my games. In Elden Ring, I'm just like, oh, sword and shield. Like, in my Elden Ring playthrough right now, I'm just big sword, right? Shield.
Yep.
That does 100% physical resistance. Thumbs up. Like, that's pure and simple, easy clap.
Unga bunga strats.
Skyrim, same kind of deal. I sometimes use magic, very rarely, but it's like two-handed dwarven hammer, easy clap. And just kind of go in, and I'm in, like, I'm not playing on the hardest difficulty, because I feel like in Skyrim, like, playing on master difficulty is so dumb. But
what even changes? Do you just do less damage and they damage you more, and that's it?
I think that might be it. Like, they might just, like, have more health. Like, it's,
that just sounds more tedious. You just gotta slash and hash away more.
Yeah, that kind of, especially when it's, like, a first-person melee game. Like, what do you get from playing on hard Minecraft?
They just damage you more, and that's a...
Yeah, it's just, like, I don't, to be fair, I do play on hard Minecraft, but...
Yeah, that's how you do it. That way, like, it makes the caves actually kind of, like, scary to explore.
Yeah, but in Skyrim, it just feels like, I don't know. The game is so jank that it's just like, it doesn't, like, Skyrim is just known for its jank. So I don't really want to go into it and be like, oh, I'm trying to play on the hardest difficulty whatsoever. And I'm trying to, like, experience the game itself. Like, I think I'd rather just experience Skyrim, because I don't, like, remember anything past the start. And instead,
I don't remember,
like,
anything past the, I always see the meme of something fading into the opening cutscene of Skyrim.
Oh,
it's like someone gets knocked out and something unrelated, and then it just fades into, like, riding on the carriage.
Oh, you're awake. Yeah.
Yeah. This is so funny.
Yeah. I've been playing that a little bit. Other, like, literally everything else, though, like, so I have 10 hours in Skyrim, and that's not much. And it's been like Elden Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Routing random stuff in Sunshine just for fun. Like, I made a comparison video last week of, like, movement from Rocket in Noki to Goldbird.
Oh, interesting.
So, like, Bread Ghost, during one of his matches in the Bingo League, did, like, this interesting movement, and then he clipped it and then posted it in, like, Bingo ILs and strats. And then I was just like, I'll compare it, like, see what's a good comparison. And I think my movement was, like, it's like the exact same speed. It's funny. It was, like, to the frame, the same speed.
Wow.
But, like, it goes up the chute so you can spam spray earlier.
Hmm.
So, like, whatever. But, yeah, so I made, like, a comparison video. I don't really make comparison videos, but I did it. And,
so, Bredgo is kind of a genius.
Hey, it's just like, if you're just getting the rocket and then going to the Goldbird, why wouldn't you do dive rollout rockets, you know? And just kind of, like, do some improvised movement. But yeah, so I did that. What else? Like, it's Swedish. Literally.
While you're mentioning Skyrim, I guess people always think that I'm crazy because I haven't played Skyrim.
Yeah.
I still probably won't play it, because I feel like I kind of missed the boat on when that game truly was, I guess it was ahead of its time. It kind of revolutionized that genre.
Yeah.
But nowadays there's just so many alternatives. If I want to get into a high time investment open world kind of game, you know, you got, like, The Witcher and stuff and something else.
Yeah.
But newer and greater games coming out now. It's like, this Skyrim had its place in the early 2010s, but, like, you know, it's kind of a little bit dated now. So,
see, it's funny though. Like, I feel like Skyrim still has its niche successfully, like, covered. Where it's like, it's like Elden Ring is, go out into the world, this is so fucking difficult. And like Zelda is, go out into the world, this is trying to be difficult, kind of, but like it's not.
It's difficult, and so you realize you can just eat all you want in the pause menu, and then.
But you're also Link, so it's not like you don't really have much customization over that. And yeah. But
well,
like,
so the thing with Skyrim that I picture is like, what other game has, or what other single player game really has that grinding various things up to level 100 kind of
exactly?
Like, you know, there's like RuneScape and stuff, but that's like massive multiplayer shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know. Like playing and watching what the Skyrim I have lately, I don't think any game really like covers all of its bases as well as it does.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you want to, you can just kind of like dig into the smallest detail of it, like exactly with like we speedrun Sunshine and stuff. You can like dig into like the detail of an IL and just kind of grind that to hell and still be bad at the video game or like whatever. Yeah. But like in
are you poking fun at anyone?
No. And then Skyrim, you can be like, well, I'm gonna go like to level 100 in light armor. And it's just like, uh-huh. Okay. And then it's just like level 100 in speech or level 100 in alchemy. And then there's just like these wide range of things to cover where it's just like, oh, like people go like, oh, Breath of the Wild is just a better Skyrim. And you're just like, yeah, but no, it's not the same.
I don't see that. Even I haven't even played Skyrim and I don't see that.
Yeah, it's like Breath of the Wild is just so much more simple. I like the only reason that I bought it is because it's like it was on sale for the HD, the new like special edition was on sale over Christmas for like $30. And I was like, okay, like I'll buy it. Maybe I'll one day like play it again and not have to break out my Xbox 360 in order to play it. And I, you know what? Talking about it now actually makes me more excited to play it. Like,
nice.
Talk about like the small details and stuff, but and exploring. I do like really exploring in games, but there are no Korok seeds, but there are caves.
Oh.
So. Like caves, but yeah, I don't know. Elden Ring, Skyrim.
I bet that Swedish. Elden Ring probably has a better reward system than here's a spell you'll never be able to use.
What? Like, see,
in Elden Ring.
Well, like what are you saying?
Or wait, did I say that wrong? I said Skyrim has a better reward system than Elden Ring, probably.
That you said Elden Ring has a better reward system.
Oh no! I meant Skyrim. Sorry.
Okay, so
I'm mixing up all these names.
I was about to like rebuttal, being like, I didn't watch it, but I listened to the Joseph Anderson video on Elden Ring, and I would say he would dispute with you, he would fight with you, he would argue.
I agree with Joseph Anderson. I said it wrong because I'm dumb.
Because not every cave in Elden Ring will be a reward that you can use ever.
You know, the majority of them are stuff you're never going to use. So, like, oh, fucking, you need 40 faith for this. All right.
Yeah. Whenever I beat I don't even look like we talked about like first day of Elden Ring. It's like, oh, when you beat a boss, do you even look at the reward you get? It's like, no, like I don't even sometimes.
Well, like at first I wouldn't because I was like too excited from beating a boss to even like check it.
Yeah.
But then eventually I sort of eased into the game and it became less like, oh my God, I'm crazy. It was like, oh, let me check this. Oh, I can't use it? All right.
See, what's funny is that, like, in Elden Ring, so I have so much dexterity and strength that, like, most weapons I can use. But then it's just like, oh, but this one needs faith. It's like, fuck. I don't have any faith.
This one needs, like, a combination of strength, dexterity, and faith. Like, why would I put stuff into all those?
I hate you. This sucks. I don't want to, like, spend, like, now I'm at, like, a point where so many runes is a level. Like, it's so many runes. And then it's just like, oh, okay, well, you're dumping all of these hundreds of thousands of runes into, well, I guess faith. It's like, fuck that. So,
like, do I put it into faith to like maybe get a weapon for that later, or just keep going strength?
Or health? Come on,
yeah, like, health is always good, you know.
Like I've been ignoring health.
Do I put it into making my discoverability 1% better? I don't know.
Yeah, but and then like on the opposite side, Skyrim is just like when you level up, you can level up two things. It's like you level up. When you achieve a level up in Skyrim, it's like, okay, you want to up your stamina, magicka, or health. And then it's just
Let me guess. Is magicka magic?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm a genius.
you're just like your FP meter essentially. And
okay.
and then in addition to that, you can up just like one of the traits, like speech or lock picking or two-handed weapon. You can like up you can up a perk essentially.
So yeah, it's just cool. Like you know, in late game Souls games, you feel like you're putting in like so many resources in like one little stat.
Yeah.
Like, okay, 100,000 things into faith. Let's go.
Yeah, and I feel like Skyrim does it better, where it's just like they have the three things that you can up, the three bars that you can like move the end of, like the health, the stamina, or the FP meter, and then mm-hmm. in addition to that, they can up your faith or whatever the equivalent in Elden Ring would be,
or so your like, sneak, or yeah, your. I'm talking about Skyrim now.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it's just like it's an interesting way to do it. And in Elden Ring, you have to like choose between upping your meter or upping a level for like I don't even know what some of the like more niche like attributes do. Like faith, what does it up? Like, does it up anything other than
some of them up like resistance to magical stuff?
Yeah,
or just. It gives you more FP in general,
or like left-handed weapon or right-handed weapon,
yeah,
like vice versa. And I'm just like, well, I'm just gonna do one of the big four. So,
mm-hmm.
so yeah, I think that's a thing that I really appreciate in Skyrim, where it's just like, oh, I've leveled up two. Well, I've been leveling up stamina. And Skyrim's one of those games where it's just like in Breath of the Wild, where it's just like, I just want to run. Can I just run? That's a cool thing that Elden Ring did.
Yeah, when there's no enemies around, you can just go infinitely.
You can just run. Oh,
I'm glad that. I hope that's the standard going forward for games like this.
Yeah, because it sucks in Breath of the Wild, where it's just like, oh, I just want to run across the entirety of this land of Hyrule, and it's just like, okay, well, you're out of stamina and have to do this weird cheesy speedrun strat.
if Breath of the Wild, if they patch whistle sprinting, they have to at least include the infinite stamina when no enemies around thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so that'd be kind of annoying.
Because Skyrim still has, like, Skyrim from a decade ago definitely has that. Like, you want to sprint, you are burning your stamina meter. And I think every level, I think I'm level 10, which obviously, like, to anybody listening that's played Skyrim, and probably a lot of people have, just like, oh, you're level 10, you're, like, barely into the game. It's like, yeah, that's my point. I'm barely into the game. But every level I've been leveling up, stamina. Most of the time, like, health a little bit. And like magicka, I think once, but like mostly stamina, so that I can run. I just want to run, and eventually, like you just cap out on your stamina meter, and just like, well, I'm walking for a little bit and waiting for my stamina meter to come back. So it's just it's a vestige of the past. It could probably be modded out, I assume, because Skyrim again, like one of the more modded games. But I'm not really a mod person, really, all that much. But yeah, that's what I've been playing, Skyrim.
Cool.
And you know what? That spawned a really cool conversation between Elden Ring and Skyrim. That was nice. All right.
Well, I finished Bug Fables.
Woo!
The paper-like bug-themed game.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I did something I rarely ever do nowadays. I 100%ed it.
And how did that feel?
You know, the last few hours felt kind of gross, not gonna lie, man. dude, 100%ing games, getting all the achievements, I'm just not a fan, man. It's like, whenever I go into a game, I always have the mindset of, I'm gonna look at every nook and cranny, find everything I can, I'm gonna be, like, super diligent, get all the stuff, it's gonna be fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you get into late game, and you're like, oh, wait, I have to find the stuff I missed. And it's going to be kind of a pain in the ass.
Do you find that the reward system just kind of falls away? Like,
yeah, it's like once you beat the game and stuff and do most of the fun things, it's like, well, now it's just filling off a checklist.
Yeah, and like and nothing
doing things.
And nothing that you get is going to be like, wow, this really changes the game.
Yeah. You know? So what it came down to was, I had to get the rest of the medals, which are. Like badges for all you Paper Mario fans. They're called medals in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out at the end of the game, I was actually super good at like discovering pretty much everything on one go through because there's a thing. So there's 50 crystal berries in the game, which can be used to trade in for medals. And I actually found in like with no hints, no anything, 49 of the 50.
Oh, damn.
And there were subtle hints. At some point, you get like a little thing you can like equip and it beeps when there's something in a room.
Okay.
So like it lets you know, hey, there's like an item in here, probably a crystal berry, maybe like a metal or something.
Okay.
So, you know, cheating a little bit, but like it's an in-game thing, so not really. Mm-hmm. But there was only one crystal berry I had to look up because it was such a weird, bizarre, like, how would I ever think to do that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Because there's a fortune teller in the game who actually, he has a crystal berry looking item at his, I guess, where his crystal ball would be.
Uh-huh.
And essentially the fortune teller acts as a person who you pay him a certain number of berries, which is the currency, by the way, you pay berries. And he will tell you where, oh, give me a hint on where a crystal berry is. Give me a hint on where whatever is. And he himself actually has one. But to get it, you have to use Kabu's dig move on a fence behind him and talk to him from next to him versus in front of his crystal ball. And he's like, what are you doing back here? You know what? Just because you got back here, here's a crystal berry.
What?
And it's like, why would I ever think to do that? so that's the only one I had to look up. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then actually with the medals, what to my surprise, I found all the medals. And how I thought it worked was you only had to get each individual kind of medal because there's some duplicates to like equip multiple of them.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you had to actually get every medal that exists, even if it's a duplicate. Like if there's 4 HP pluses, you got to get all 4 of them.
Okay.
And the only ones I was missing were all the ones you have to buy from the shop.
Oh.
So I literally just had to just grind for more berries, clean out the shop, and then I got them all.
Oh, it's like it's the 100% of Odyssey.
Yeah, essentially, it's just like grind for some money, and then you just buy all the stuff.
It's like, oh, I got 999 moons. Okay, well, what else do I have to get? Oh, I have to get all the costumes. Great, let's do this.
Oh, boy, I got to pay 9,000 coins for that skeleton. Wow.
Let's go in this pipe or in this like sub area in Bowser's castle and run through it over and over again to get enough money to buy the skeleton outfit. Great.
Yeah, by the way, I never bought that outfit.
I did the grind.
You actually grinded for that?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I 100% of the game, yeah.
I mean, I got all the moons, but not all the fucking outfits. I was like, fuck that.
I did all, I took photos with the outfits too. I'm like, he has a nose on his...
Here's proof of how cool I am.
Here's a skeleton with a nose on it. Weird. And then I remember like putting the outfit together and being like, oh, skeleton with a crown. And I'm like, this sucks. I turned it off.
And then you just turned the game off.
I was just like, it's over. And then they added sunshine stuff to the DLC. I'm like, I'm okay. I don't need to.
I'm already too miffed by my stupid skeleton with a crown. I'm done.
Skeleton with a crown. Let's go.
But yeah, so I spent the last moments just grinding for berries to buy all the stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like 100% in games, like we were saying, it's just, it's not even getting items to finish shit. It's just, oh, out of principle, grind enough things to buy the rest of stuff you're not going to use to get a reward. All right. It's like, okay. But actually, that being said, there is like a few post-game things to do, which I wasn't expecting. Also, my whole playthrough, I predicted it would take me 45 hours in the previous episode I mentioned it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
My whole 100%, it was about 54 hours, I believe.
Ooh.
So I was pretty close to my estimate.
You flipped it.
Honestly. Yeah, to flip the numbers. There you go.
Yeah, you flipped it.
There's a few post-game quests you can do, which includes actually some of the hardest fights in the whole game, like optional, I guess, super bosses of the game.
I believe it.
And I actually beat the hardest fight in the game with the hard mode medal equipped. I'm pretty proud of that.
Ooh.
It's the fight where there's this dude named Mackie who's this ants. I think he's an ants. I don't fucking know. They're bugs. He's like,
they're bugs.
It's kind of a cool moment because in the very first cutscene of the game, he's like the first person you sort of talk to in the Explorers Association tents that you start out in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't think you guys are worthy. You probably can't do this. And then V's like, no, trust us. We can do it. Come on. He's like, you know, maybe I see it in you. You can give it a shot. And I don't know. Mackie, he has like this blue sword that like looks pretty imposing. And he shows up a few times in your adventure, and like this one time when the final boss of the game, the Wasp King, he is like terrorizing the kingdom and stuff, and he just sort of single-handedly scares him off. So you're like, dude, this guy's a fucking badass. Holy shit.
Damn.
And at one point in the game, he actually like joins your party as you go through a section with tougher enemies than normal. And like every turn, he just like insta six damage to an enemy, which six is a lot of damage in this game.
Yeah.
It sounds like not very much, but six is a ton of damage.
Insta six?
Like when you finish your turn of attacking with all three bugs, you just get a free, oh, here's six damage on top of that.
Oh, damn.
And it's like, dude, this guy is like a badass, dude. And then in the super boss, you actually fight not just him, but you also fight his wife, sister, I forget which.
Okay.
Awkward moment.
His wife, sister.
Some woman who's always with him. And this larval thing that hatches in the post game as well, that it merely acts to like give him status buffs and stuff in the battle and stuff and be annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're fighting Matthew, has like 3 defense and 60 HP, which 3 defense is a lot. I know they use low numbers, but it's a lot. His wife or whatever and the larval thing for like a combined close to 200 HP and lots of defense. And actually, so I want to talk about the insane stratagem I discovered it. I'm sure it's, they probably do it like in speedruns and stuff because it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
There's like a strat that I used. I like super min-maxed my V to be extremely powerful.
Your B so, or your V?
Well, a V named V.
Okay. All right, I guess
both.
Okay.
So basically, V has a move which does like a multi-hit thing in a row. And it starts out like it, let's say like at base attack, it does like 3-2-1-1. Because it's 4 hits and it goes like starting damage amount and then lower from there until it's just all ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at base it does like what, you know, 3+2+1+1. I can't do math. 7. Whew, math is tough, guys.
Got him.
But you could actually, and you know, it sounds pretty good like on paper. That's only, it only does 7 if it has 0 defense. What you're attacking, and it costs like 3 TP, which is like mana essentially. But you could actually, if you're smart about it, like me with a 10 million IQ,
mm-hmm.
if you buff this move at all, think about it, right?
Okay.
If you buff a normal single hit move, like let's say a move that does 5 damage, you buff it, it does 6 damage.
Yeah.
What do you think happens when you buff this multi-hit move?
Oh, you get 4 extra damage.
We're talking... just one buff of attack, 4-3-2-1.
Ooh.
All right. That is 4 or 3 extra damage right off the get-go.
Ooh.
So I thought about this, like, what if I just, like, stack a crazy amount of damage on this one move? And there's actually, like, there's a better variant of it called Hurricane Spin, which actually, I think, has piercing damage. Like, it like, ignores one defense, making it even stronger.
Ooh.
But it costs more TP.
Okay.
So Hurricane Spin plus... And so basically this strat that I had, which was like very, very good for killing bosses that just have like one entity because it's like a one hit, it only targets one enemy. So like if there's multiple enemies, it's not so good. But like for just one big enemy, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty good strat to use like as early as chapter 3 or 4. But it only got better as I acquired more medals to make this super powerful DPS V even better.
Uh-huh.
Because at some point you get like an upgraded boomerang, which does an additional hit, so 5 hits, not just 4. And there's a extremely broken thing. Okay, let me just, I will go over the broken combo that I got going in late game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a move you can equip with Kabu. Actually, by default, he has a move called Taunt, where he just sits there like he taunts the enemy, and the enemy... all the enemies have to attack him the next turn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's a good idea to make Kabu like sort of a tanky guy, make him tank all the hits while Leaf maybe freezes them with some ice moves and V does like some powerful moves. So you have Kabu tank all the hits with Taunt, but there's actually an upgrade to Taunt if you equip a metal called Taunt Plus,
okay.
Where taunting, it lowers the enemy's defense by 1 for that turn, but it also increases their attack by 1, which is kind of irrelevant.
Okay.
So if you do Taunt Plus, lower their defense, increase their offense. They all go for Kabu anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
On top of that, there's a metal that's insanely good called like Supercharge or something. at the cost of not TP, but HP, funnily enough, you pay 5 HP of like your 16 or whatever, and you get 3 free charges of offense for your next attack. So we're talking plus 3 attack off the get-go at the cost of just a measly 5 HP.
Okay.
It's pretty busted if you ask me. I don't know. I don't even know why it's in there. But
three
yeah.
So like 3 charges being you have the ability to attack 3 more times?
No. So it's like 3 additional attack onto your next attack.
Oh, okay.
And then once you attack, it's gone.
Okay.
So you can triple charge at the cost of 5 HP. That's already plus 3. Plus there's other metals like there's a metal that costs like 5 metal points that increases someone's thing. It increases your attack by 1, but lowers their defense by 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like -2 defense, but like plus like 5 attack overall on V. Not plus 5, just like 5 attack.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking like 5 plus the 3 from the supercharge, minus 1 defense, whatever defense they have, it's minus 1.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it cost HP to supercharge. If you supercharge a few times after it's been a few turns, eventually you get into low HP territory, and there's other metals where if you're at low HP, you get even more damage.
Oh.
So it really, like, these things start to snowball.
Cool.
So I had, like, plus 2 more damage from low HP, supercharge, all this shit. I was, like, practically 2-shotting Mackie. He was insane. Like, I lowered his defense to 2. It was, like, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. It felt so satisfying, man.
Oh. Well, that's really cool that they let you, like, play with the badges or the what did you say?
The medals, yeah.
The medals tied to the you say, whenever you say medals, you say badges at the same time, so I get confused.
But, yeah, I mean badges. They're called badges in Paper Mario. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny. It's cool that they allow you to make a build with the medals and just they play with each other so well.
Yeah, there's some medals are like totally useless, and then others you can like super synergize well with if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's all pretty fairly simple, so it's kind of crazy how much customization there is with fairly simple options, I suppose.
Cool.
Like, you could go, like, super tanky, buff everyone's defense and barely take any damage. And there's also, you can, like, further reward really good timing if you equip Super Guard Plus, where you get bonus defense if you manage to, like, get the awesome blocking timing, which is kind of hard to do consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff like that. So, yeah, it was just fun in late game. Destroying enemies with, like, my super broken V and then making them attack Cabu instead. And yeah, it was fun.
So you're talking about the 3 characters that you play as. Do you have any flexibility in your party, or is it just those 3 characters?
It's only those 3, but yeah. You can pretty much customize them as much as you want.
Okay.
So they're sort of locked to like their own types of moves. Cause like V has the aerial hitting ones. So we can like attack aerial enemies as well as grounded ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leaf has ice-based moves that can like sometimes freeze enemies,
mm-hmm.
which is particularly useful. Like you can just like freeze a powerful dude and he won't attack for like an entire 2 turns, which is super useful.
Yeah, because
it
kind of reminds me of a game called Owl Boy. Have you ever heard of Owl Boy?
Isn't that the indie game that like, but it was in development for a long time.
Yeah, I bought it like years ago. I think it came out in like 2017 or.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah, I bought it and I played it, but it reminds me of that because it's just like with Owlboy, you play as Owlboy and you have these like 2 characters that you can. I don't remember if you can switch between them or there's like different areas of the game where you can use both of them, but it's just like you're carrying your one. Person that shoots like a gun, and then you can like switch it out to another person that's like heavier that has a different weapon. I can't remember what the other character is. It's been so long since I played it. But
are they both owls?
Pardon me?
Are they both owls?
No, they're not both owls. but like you have one owl, and then you have 2 other characters. But then there's like
no. One's an owl, one's a boy. It's Owl Boy.
It's Owl Boy.
It's like Cat Dog.
Owl Boy. but specifically when you said you like could. Control the other guy that was like the big guy that you were saying and was in that boss battle. What was his name again?
Mackie.
You can control Mackie for a mission. There are missions in Owlboy where it's just like you can control one, like it's a different like different from the original two than you have, and you control them for that one mission, and then they're gone. Like,
yeah,
and they're not part of it anymore. It's not the same kind of deal. It's not like a turn-based strategy game or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It is just kind of like 2D, like flying around, like 2D, what is it? Dual stick shooter.
2D flying around
like
kind of game.
like twin stick shooter kind of.
Yeah.
But like for some reason, when you were talking about.
How far did you get in that?
Oh, I beat it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's not a very long game. I think it's like
Would
hours.
You recommend it?
Yeah, depending like how much money it is. Like, I think it's been out long enough that you can get it for pretty cheap. It's like 10 hours, like 7 hours, like not very long whatsoever. But I know that they've been like putting out like years after, just like, oh, it's the however many anniversary of Owlboy. And I'm just like on Steam, and I'm just like, oh, okay, that's cool. I beat that game 4 years ago or whatever.
Damn, is that, I remember being like a, I thought it was more recent than that. Damn.
I think it was literally that long ago.
Crazy.
But for some reason, when you were talking about Mackie being there for one mission, I specifically thought of like, there's just like a mission with a unique character that you have to carry. Like the owl just like carries every, like one of his compatriots, and you can switch him out or whatever. But like for this one, you got a unique character with a unique moveset. And after you lost that character at the end of the mission, I was like, oh, I don't get to play as them anymore. I like them. They were a fun moveset.
I always think it's cool when video games are able to convey the power level of people through the gameplay, not just cutscenes.
Yeah.
Because you really feel this guy's power when he's helping you out. It's like, dude, this guy could just one-shot everything. What the fuck am I even doing? why am I even here?
Yeah, that's sick. I like that a lot. But yeah, for some
it's
reason,
it's also funny
because
there's a quest at some point in the game you can do where like this nerdy guy joins you. And he's like, I got to find this mask for my friend that he lost. Can I come with you guys? And he's like, we're like, sure, I guess you can come. And he fills the same position as Mackie. But he does like some like stupid Naruto kick that does like one damage.
Oh.
He's like, yeah. And then when you manage to help his friend out, he's like, yeah, guys, we did it. We got your thing. Like, he acts like he like pitched in as much as we did. And then it's kind of a wholesome moment because Cabby's like, yeah, you were really great out there. Good job.
Woo.
You know, it's like, yeah, you know, he's friendly.
Yeah.
But it was just funny because it's like this fucking, this nerd ass nerd.
This Naruto kick.
He's like, yeah, dude, we fought him, we won, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like that.
But yeah, you know, there's all kinds of quests. Pretty much every character you meet has a quest at some point. Some of them felt kind of fillery. Like, there's this one who's hidden in this cave somewhere. He's like, I'm thinking of this thing, like, in this golden paradise. He's super vague about it. And I actually had to look this one up. And he meant to just, like, go to this specific point in this place that has golden in the name. And like find a woman and bring it back. There was no challenge whatsoever. It was just figuring out like whatever vague hints it was.
Yeah.
And it was like, this didn't have to be in the game, but you know, I guess they had to get more quests in there somehow.
Is the quest system like Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Where I have not played that game.
Well, like, can't you miss quests in it? Like, what game am I thinking about? Or is that Xenoblade?
There's no missable quests in this game. It's pretty simple.
Is Xenoblade what I'm thinking about?
Yeah, Xenoblade, you can actually just miss quests entirely.
Okay.
But there's like a bazillion quests in that game. Like, and so many of them are just like, defeat four of this kind of enemy. It's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
From
what little gameplay I saw of like, of Bug Fables from the last Guestless podcast, I thought that like maybe it wasn't as like open world as it. Like, it didn't seem very open world, but it is very open.
It's, I guess, open world. I mean, it's like there's six different sort of main areas, maybe seven. Yeah. I don't know. There's like branching paths. It's kind of like Dark Souls 2. There's paths, like from a central area, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really good about having shortcuts back to play because you got to like travel around a lot to like, oh, this person's quest is in this area. I got to go there from here. But there's ants tunnels you can open up to like tunnel back to places instantly.
Okay.
And at some point you get a compass item, which lets you teleport back to the hub of the ant tunnels immediately.
Okay.
So travel is no longer like an issue when you're filling out quests in the late game and stuff.
Am I wrong in saying that sounds like Hollow Knight?
Well, there are bugs.
Sure, there are bugs, but like, When you say like open up.
Yeah, so like the stag stations.
Yeah,
right?
Open up the ant tunnels, I think of the stag station. Yeah.
Yeah, it's similar, except it's just like at some point an ant finishes clearing out a tunnel and there's no like stag carrying you. You kind of just like crawl through there.
Sure.
So,
yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, you know, as both being bug games, they're not going to not take some stuff from Hollow Knight. So
this is a bug game. And this is also bug game. They are same
like,
game.
What all can bugs really do at the end of the day? So
one can carry a nail and the other one can carry I don't
carry themselves.
Yeah, they can carry themselves for sure.
With dignity. But yeah, overall, cool game. Pretty simple game. You can make it pretty challenging. You can, like, beyond the hard mode, you can equip something that, like, enemies do even more damage if you're masochistic enough.
Yeah.
Did
you ever take off the badge for hard?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, sometimes I'm just going through an area, fulfilling a quest somewhere, and the enemies would give me one experience regardless of hard mode or not. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll just be on easy mode to, like, not take as much damage. Why not?
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
The final thing, and this actually transitions perfectly into a game I just started playing like yesterday. All right, there is an entire card game in a game in this game.
Okay, yeah.
Just out of nowhere. So at some point, there's Gwent. This hidden... What's up?
Gwent.
Gwent?
That's the Witcher card game.
Oh, I don't even know. I must have not gotten to that part of Joseph Anderson's video.
Gwent.
So there's like an underground sort of shady society that like V has to figure out the password to. Like he used to go to, like V the Bee used to be a member of this sort of shady area. But at some point he loses the password. He's like, that was last month's password. Get the new password. He's like, I don't know the new password. And at some point you find the new password. You can go down there.
QWERTY.
And Cabby's like, this place is kind of weird. Like, why do you know these people? What the fuck's going on? But anyway, so you go down there. It's the place where you can trade in crystal berries for metals. And also, there's a person who introduces you to the card game you can play in this game. And it's based on... So any enemy and boss and mini-boss in the entire game can be a card that you encountered.
Okay.
So, like... There's a spy mechanic in the game, kind of like Tattle from TCYD, which you wouldn't know, but the viewers might know. You can spy on an enemy, and it gives you like access to their stats, their health bar, all that stuff. Once you do spy on them one time, just permanently going forward. So any enemy or boss that you spied on is a card you can use in your deck that you build. You can have like 15 cards in your deck. You get one boss card, two mini boss cards, and like, I don't know, 12 to 15 normal monsters or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty simplistic, but not going to lie, like the first 10 minutes I was doing it, I had no idea what was going on.
Okay, yeah. That sounds like any card game I played.
Yeah, it takes some like sort of figuring out what you're even doing and then like the strategy from beyond that.
Yeah.
But there's like certain mini boss cards, like they have some synergy together. Most cards are just like regular monsters with like 1 to 4 attack. And you just like sort of draw cards over time, put them out there. Sometimes you have effect cards that have like a coin flip chance to increase defense or not. And then if you have the more powerful side between attack and defense, you win that round. All the cards go away. You draw for the next round. And each round, progressively, you get more TP to use from like, it starts at like 2 all the way up to like 10 for all future rounds.
Okay.
And each card has its own TP cost to put out there. So basically, as you get to later rounds, you can put crazier stuff out there. That's all I'll go into. But basically, it's a pretty fun but simple game. And later in the game, there's a quest for like a card game tournament.
Yeah.
And dude, it was so funny. There is actually, get this, there is a Bug Universe Yugi Moto in this
game. Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, there's a bug. When you go to this tournament place, he has like really crazy spiky hair.
Oh, damn.
And you talk to him and he gives you the literal backstory of Yugi from like season 1 of Yugi or whatever. It's like, I'm going to win with my grandfather's deck. I'm going to win this tournament. And actually, so I faced him seconds of the 3 people in the tournament for the quest. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know if he is meant to be pathetic or not, But I like wiped the floor with him. Like I destroyed him. He's like, oh no, I'll get you. I'll save you next time, Grandpa. And then actually, the last guy in the tournament, it was kind of a bittersweet win, I thought, because the last guy is just this guy. You would expect some like super mysterious, maybe Maximilian Pegasus type figure. Like, oh my God, he's so threatening.
Yeah.
But it was just some like casually like, I play this game for fun, you know, I'm just here to have a good time.
Oh, the, what is it, Joey? I don't even know.
I guess Joey, yeah.
Well, kind of Joey.
I don't know if it's based on anyone, it's just like its own character.
Yeah.
But like when you win and you beat him, he's like, oh, I had a good time. Good job, man. So I didn't even get the satisfaction of beating this guy. He's just like, okay. Well.
I just showed up. I played this game. No, Joey plays, what is it? What do they call in Yu-Gi-Oh? What do they call it? Like shadow game? Shadow monsters?
I don't remember, dude.
I don't remember, but he's playing it for his sister.
Oh, right. Like his blind sister.
Yeah. I can't remember her name, but yeah, he's playing for.
Not gonna lie, I only mainly remember stuff from the parody series Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged. So I think I had like a skewed perception of Joey, but
yeah, you definitely do.
But yeah, so interesting, unexpected card game.
Cool.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
and you got to remind me if you know about it where I got this idea from. I'm playing Inscription now.
Sure.
Was that your idea?
No, that was Chaos. KO.
Oh, it was KO. I was like, so I was checking my bucket list. I was like, all right, 100%ed Bug Fables. What's next on the docket? And I see this game top of my list, Inscription. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, was that Sid's idea? Was that my friend's idea? My brother's idea? Who was that?
I think I remember watching KO play it a little bit. I think it's one of the games that he like played for an hour and then refunded, if I'm wrong. Maybe he's still on.
Oh, he refunded it?
Maybe. I don't know, but... I know a few of his like friend group played it for a fair bit.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours into it. It's a card game, but yeah. There's a mystery element to it. Like you, the player, you got to solve a mystery as well.
It's spoopy.
It's very spoopy. Yeah. It's the guy that you're playing against. He's kind of like the game master in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
he like sets out the map. And you go along it, like as you go to one point, you can draw a card to add to your deck. You go somewhere else, you can power up a card by sacrificing a different card.
Yeah.
And it starts pretty simple, but as you know, like more effects come into play as you go. And I guess it's kind of like a roguelike in a way.
Okay. I'm trying to like think of, as you're describing it, I'm trying to think of it as Slay the Spire. I'm trying to like.
So basically like. It's like a campaign you're going through.
Yeah.
And it always starts out from the beginning of like the same campaign each time.
Sure.
So you go through and it's always like the same first boss, the same second boss. I always get wrecked in the third area so far, but it's always like the same order of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the same types of areas with the same bosses, but the layout of like the tree diagram of options going to the boss always changes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's like card, whatever, Slay the Spire or not.
It sounds like in Slay the Spire, there are three areas. You can start, like, you have the option. It's randomized, the starts. You can click, you can choose, like, one of, like, up to 4 or 5 starts and then, like, see the entire pathway up to the final boss and, like, choose your pathway that way, where it's just like, oh, I want to start here.
Yeah, it's kind of like there is like a branching diagram of like paths you can choose.
Yeah. So and then it's just like, oh, I want to go to this ? Later on to see if I can get like what, like it could be a an elite battle, it could be a regular battle, it could be actually anything. Like you get a card there, and then there's a rest spot there. It's just like you can kind of plan your pathway to the boss from the start.
Yeah. But like, and I don't even know how many areas there are. The third area, every time I've gotten there like 2 or 3 times, and I always get like wrecked by just like the normal encounters before the boss even happens in that place.
Okay.
But I don't want to spoil anything because I think anyone listening, you should give it a chance because like it has a very mysterious elements to it where it's more than just the card game. You can back away from the table and explore like the room that you're in. And there's sort of it's a card game / points and click adventure in a way.
Oh.
Because you're going around this room, there's like a safe with combination locks on it. There's a clock you can like, you know, adjust the different hands for. and you can unlock different things in the room. You sort of like gather information as you go, and like your cards are actually, there's like some sentient cards that can talk to you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, man, you shouldn't trust this guy. He's kind of fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Like the game master they're talking about. And I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's like some weird, something sus is going on with this game master.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And I mean, it's pretty obvious because like there's literally items you can use, and there's an item where you can, like the way that you win with like the life points, I guess you can call it, is you have to tip a scale. And if you tip the scale 5 points in his direction, you win.
Everything you say, I keep thinking about Yu-Gi-Oh now. So it's just like life points and tipping the scale. It's like time to tip the scales. And it's just like, God damn it.
Well, see, like Yu-Gi-Oh is the one card game I really know. So it's like, no, I just base everything on Yu-Gi-Oh.
No, I'm just thinking about Yu-Gi-Oh. Go for it.
Okay. But yeah, there's like a scale. And like every time you inflict damage on your opponent, golden teeth fall on one side and weigh it down.
Oh.
And once it gets weighed down a total of 5 ways in their direction, then you win.
Oh, okay.
There's an item you can use, though, where you literally, it's like a little like wrench thing. The first time I used it, like it really threw me off. I was like, what the fuck? You use it, you pull a tooth out of your own mouth and put it on the scale. Like you're so desperate to win, you can like take a tooth out of your own mouth and put it on there.
Oh, that's cool.
And later in the game, not going to spoil it, but you do even crazier stuff just to win if you want. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, I have 2 questions.
Okay.
How much does it cost?
It was like 15, 20 bucks, not very much.
Okay.
I paid full price for it, so it'll probably go on sale next week.
So, and you keep saying that you're getting destroyed in the third area, so would you call it difficult? Or like, is there a difficulty choice?
It's like not... Well, like my first go through, I died like in the second or like first area.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like essentially, yeah. The more you do, it's the more access you get to like little minor things that like give you a slight edge over the game master.
Uh huh.
Like now I can acquire more bones easily. You can like trade in the bones. Are their money? Like
are the bones their money?
The bones are literally your money. Yeah, I'm not even making this shit up. Like every time a monster dies, you get more bone. In your thing, like one of your like if you sacrifice one of your monsters or a monster dies, you get bone, and you can pay bone for certain kinds of monsters to go out in the field.
Uh-huh.
But I've recently been getting a lot more access to having a shitload of bone, so I can easily get the bone type monsters out there and fuck them up. So
okay,
yeah,
that's cool.
The more playthroughs you do, the more likely you are to do better than last time.
So I'm gonna ask questions directly comparing it to Slay the Spire.
Okay,
so you start off with a deck of cards.
Yeah, you just get like 4 cards. It's 4 cards, and the main like material of the game is squirrels.
Okay.
So you always, your starting deck is okay. Always a squirrel and 3 of your 4 deck cards. So
okay, wait, say that again.
All right, so your starting deck of like actual cards is just 4 cards.
Yeah,
your hand is 4 cards, but your first hand, like the first thing in like your entire playthrough, it's not your deck, it's a squirrel plus a random 3 that you drew from your deck.
Okay.
And you can play a squirrel for free and sacrifice a squirrel for like a 1 tribute thing to put on there.
Okay, so. All right. I'm not going to even touch the squirrel. I have no idea.
Okay, don't touch the squirrel. It might have rabies.
I'm not going to touch the squirrel.
Good.
Okay, so in Slay the Spire, you start with 10 cards, I think. Is it 10 or 12?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot bigger hand.
Yeah, but like you start off with the standard. Like you can't choose what you start with. You start off with 5 block cards and 5 attack cards, and that's it. And then each combat phase, you get... a card, like once you beat a battle, you can choose to get a card of like 3 and then add it to your deck or not get any cards whatsoever. So like you can remove cards from your deck later on at like rest stations or mm-hmm. if you have the choice at like question mark stops, just you can streamline your deck that way. Does Inscription have that kind of deal where you add cards to your deck after battle or something?
When there's like periodic battles before each boss, like 3 or I guess two or three of them leading up to it.
Okay.
Depending on which pathway you take. And you don't get anything from winning the battles, but if you lose a battle, one of your two candles goes out, and if both goes out, you lose the whole thing. But the thing is that, like, when you start a boss fight, you always get put down to one candle, but if you manage to keep both candles going into it, you get a free smoke card as, like, a free tribute, which does something else, so...
Okay.
But yeah, the main gist of it is, like, on the branching pathways, you get into thing like, oh, draw a random card from these three things, or, like, here's a campfire space where, like, the campers are around a campfire, and they want to power up one of your cards and put it on the fucking fire and get more health. I don't know.
Yeah!
And, like, also, the Game Master has his own, like, he puts on, like, a different mask for different areas. Like, now he's a woodworker, and he's going to make a totem for you, which powers up, like, a certain race of enemy or, like, card you have if it's on the field and stuff. Uh-huh. So, the Game Master's, like, super into it, like, acting out all these parts. And, like, each boss, he's like, now I'm the fish guy. Ah.
See, I think I have so many questions that the only way I'll have to, like, answer them is to watch somebody play it or play it.
Yeah, and I'm not very far into it, so it's like I'm probably just scratching the surface.
No, I believe you.
I have no idea how long this game is supposed to be. I feel like I've unlocked a lot of stuff in the room, but I don't know if there's like it's the only room in the game or like I don't fucking know.
So it's like a semi roguelike with like a overarching like maybe not story, but like the room itself is unlocking. So it's like independent of the, or not independent of the game, but like in addition to the game, you have your room that you're unlocking.
The card game is sort of a meta aspect of a mystery point and click you're figuring out as you go.
Okay.
So it's like the few sentient cards that say things to you, and it's kind of like they have their own personalities. Like one of them is like always kind of just like, That was a kind of a bad move, man. You shouldn't have done that. And one of them is always like going along with it, like, yeah, you know, just put me out there, bro. I don't know. And they tell you hints like, did you check like this certain page of this instruction book? There's like a hint on there.
Yeah.
And there's like little clues around you got to figure out. So, okay. Well, kind of a little mystery point and click. Fuck it. Souls-like. It's not Souls-like. I thought I could sneak Souls-like in there and no one would notice.
It's just always, at whatever game you're talking about. Yeah, Skyrim's a Souls-like. yeah, for sure.
But yeah, that's all I got on that. No, out of everything else.
That's cool. I did see, like, on your Discord profile, it was just like, oh, is playing Inscription. I'm like, oh, I guess he's already like...
Oh, actually, so one last thing.
Go for it.
I think it's meant to have sort of a creepypasta-esque thing to it, because the second time I loaded the game... There was a temporary, like, inscription.exe is stopped working, like, actual notification.
Yeah.
And then it went away, like, a second later. And I was like, was that, like, a thing that the game does? Was that, like, actually my computer? I don't know. I think it was, like, a creepy moment that was supposed to happen, but I don't know. It's weird.
It's a spooky game.
It's a spooky game.
It's a spooky game. So. It is interesting to, like, see, just like, okay, so I'm playing, you're playing Elden Ring, and then you... finish Elden Ring, go play Sunshine and Bug Fables, finish Bug Fables. And like the difference in the casual games you're playing, where it's just like, okay, well, Elden Ring is I don't know if epitome, I feel like Dark Souls fans would fight me if it's just like the epitome of Dark Souls, like big open world, hard game.
It's just a big Dark Souls game.
Yeah, big Dark Souls game. And then it's just like, well, I'm going to go back to speedrunning Sunshine and Bug Fables, which is a Paper Mario-like. And then when I'm done Bug Fables, I'm going to go play a card game. So it's just like...
Well, hey, you know, I think it was... To be fair, I didn't even know Inscription was a card game.
Yeah,
I was like, fuck it, it's on my list. I'm just going to play it. I don't even know what it is.
No, I'm just like appreciating the variedness, the variety.
Well, hey, I think that the little card game within Bug Fables... kind of got me hyped to play another card game. I'm like, yeah, you know, fucking cards. Why not?
Right. Fucking cards.
But yeah, I think that we could probably wrap it up here.
Yeah, I have nothing else. So,
Well, thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. We have, like we talked about at the start of this pod, we have an idea for next week. Hopefully it'll come to fruition and, the people that we're thinking about getting on the show will, accept our request. And then, That'll be.
Oh, they will, because we're going to force them.
And that'll be episode 44. But for now, this has been episode 43 on Sid and Trey on YouTube and on Spotify and everywhere else. You guys have a nice rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
Bye.